was kind of nice. Just rested and read and enjoyed the Lord and all the rain and all that. Got to take walks when it allowed, but it was good. But I always miss being here, and it seems like a million years. So, but here we are again in our series, The Shaping of a Christian Woman. And tonight we are looking at the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures, and I think that this one is my second life scripture in a different way, as out of Psalm 119, which is one of my favorite psalms. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And unless God's word had been deep within my heart and the joy of my heart, I would have perished in my affliction. But he has given me life, and I know he's given you life through his word. We have had a changed life because of God's word. I mean, everybody here, right? Who has not had a changed life because of his word? His word changes lives. It opens up a whole new life. Who hasn't had their perspective changed by the word of God? Who hasn't had their eyes opened, or who doesn't hear differently and see differently now because of the Word of God? So I sat and I thought, where in the world do you begin? How do I do this? And I've done messages on the Word of God before, and it's always difficult. And this time it was even more difficult, because where do you begin? What do you say? I don't want to do this technical talk about the Word of God. And I think that it would almost be better if we just stopped talking right now, and we just all sat and read. Just read the Word. Because how it washes over us and feeds us and nourishes us. Wouldn't that have been probably a little shockaroo for you tonight if I said, okay, now open your Bible to Psalm 119 and we're just going to silently read through. We actually did that once, only it wasn't silently. This is me in math. Bad, bad, bad. But I thought, oh, what a great idea. Ladies study, we'll read Psalm 119. So we divvied up the verses. I don't know how long it took us. It took us the whole time to read through it, which was great. But we're not going to do that tonight. But just a thought. But do you know that there are 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, and 27 in the New Testament, and the Bible was composed over 40 different human authors as they penned this word, and over a period of approximately 1,600 years. I mean, that's pretty amazing. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and there are 31,102 verses in the Bible. That is amazing. But I don't want to do a technical study. And I don't want to just talk about where the word came from, the writing of it and all of that. I hope and pray that what I have to share tonight will stir your hearts and will inspire you and maybe create more of a thirst for the word, because each of us need more of a hunger and more of a thirst for the word. When Damien and I were brand new Christians, our lives immediately and totally and completely changed because of the Lord, because of the word. And I've shared this several times over the years, but I got saved, probably it was 8 or 9 o'clock on a Monday night, and at 9 o'clock the next morning, I was in a Bible study with Bible study tools. And so I learned immediately how to read the Bible, kind of that inductive thing and digging into the word more and more. And it just, the word just opened to me, and I went home and would share with Damien week after week, you have to take a day off work. You have to take a day off work. You've got to come with me. You got to come with me. So probably just a month or so, he finally took a day off work and he came with me, and that was it. It just exploded in his life, and he had and he still has an unquenchable thirst for the Word and getting into the Word and reading the Word and studying the Word, and we all benefit from that week after week because of what the Lord shows him in the Word and then how he is able to share that with all of us. And I loved that, and I still do, about my husband, that he loves the Word, and he is never not in the Word, always in the Word, talking about the Word or books or something, and still to this day. And in those early days, you know, I jumped right in and did that, but my hunger and my thirst wasn't quite what his was, and I felt a little left behind, and I felt like, well, what's the matter with me, you know, because I don't hunger and thirst after the Word like that. I can't make myself sit there for that long of a time. And I remember I'd be in bed just, and his desk was in our room. And every night I went to sleep, still do, with the light on because he's up. And praying, Lord, help him to retain it, because, I mean, I can only put so much in there at a time, and then, you know, it's on overload. But I didn't have the hunger and the thirst like he did, and I wanted it. And so I began to pray for that. Pray, Lord, give me more of a hunger, more of a thirst for your Word. And, I prayed that for quite a while. And I remember even during that time listening to one of the assistant pastors taught on a Sunday. And I love the guy, but he said in that he almost kind of belittled that type of a prayer. And he mentioned that, you know, Christians, they pray for more. Oh, give me more of a hunger, more of a hunger, more of a hunger. And, you know, what's the matter with you? You should already have a hunger for God, you know, kind of a thing. And I just went, I even felt bad because that's what I've been praying. But it didn't make me stop praying it. I thought, I don't care what you say. I need more of a hunger for God, and I'm going to keep praying for it, you know. And I did, and I still do. Lord, make me thirsty for more, like the deer that pants after the water. I want my soul to pant after you, pant after your Word, like that. Now, there is a great analogy between water and the Word of God. And when I heard this years and years ago, it really helped me to get it and to just to see the similarities and to understand it more. It's interesting with the way God made our bodies. The human body is comprised of about 70% water. Now, if you're in the medical field, you already know all this, and I'm going to sound like a dodo, but this is just fascinating to me. And next to air, our bodies need water. It's vital to our systems so that they function properly. And water is involved in every aspect of our body functions. It just, we can't survive without water. The human body can survive for 5 weeks without food, but only 5 days without water. It's very interesting. Now, a lot of people, and maybe you're one of them, but a lot of people, they're not thirsty. Their bodies, they're just not thirsty. Maybe you have a husband or children or whatever, and you're telling them, you need to drink, you need to drink. You're just, oh, I'm not thirsty, I'm not thirsty, I'm not thirsty, kind of a thing. And they feel, or maybe you feel, like drinking water is like torture to try to get water down. But if a body is no longer thirsty, it can be a warning sign that there is dehydration in the body. And you would think, wait a minute, how does that work? You think if you're dehydrated, you'd be thirsty all the time. But that's not necessarily so. And a lack of thirst or the lack of that sensation is an indication that the body's now it's compensated and it's accepted this state of dehydration. So it no longer signals the brain to say, I'm thirsty kind of a thing. It's just kind of accepted this. Not healthy, but our bodies adapt like that. However, once you begin to hydrate yourself with water, drinking that water on a daily basis and during all through the day, you will find your thirst sensation coming back. And it's almost like, okay, I'm drinking all this water. Why am I so thirsty? Why do I need a drink when I've just drank all this water? It's very interesting. Now, with the word, Jesus told us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our bodies spiritually need the word of God to be alive. To be alive health and to be alive spiritually and healthy spiritually, we must have the word of God. And the word of God is vital for us to function properly as a Christian. In spiritually, we have to have the word of God to function individually. And then as the body of Christ, we need the word because it gives us those nutrients. It gives us that life. Many Christians do not have that thirst for the word of God. It's not that they don't like the word of God. It's not that they don't read the word of God. But they're not thirsty for the word of God. They may read it on a daily basis, but there isn't that physical thirst. There isn't that spiritual thirst for the word. But if we aren't thirsty, just like with water, then it is a warning sign. It's a danger. Something's not right. Because we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are to hunger and thirst after the Lord, after His word. But once we begin to thirst or to quench our thirst on the word of God, feed on the word of God, and not just, you know, a little sip here but a big gulp and several glasses a day of the word of God, we'll find that there's more of a thirst. And we'll find that it's doing us, it's making us healthier in a spiritual sense. Just like the more water we drink, the more we hydrate our bodies, we're going to be healthier because it's going to flush out all the impurities. It's going to make all the organs work. And, you know, your skin, your hair, the whole thing. I mean, everybody knows how good water is for them. But the more the word of God gets into our lives, it's the same. We reap the same, and if not more, benefits from the word of God. But just like that drinking of water and the word of God, it's a choice. Now, we all drink some water a day or some fluids a day, and we probably all read the Word of God here and there, a verse here, a verse there. Maybe some of us really, really read a lot. But if we don't, it is a choice to then read more and to read more. And it is a discipline, just like drinking water and making sure that you're healthy, making sure you're doing your body good, making sure we do ourselves spiritually good. And then we will reap the benefits from that. Now, I've never drank water growing up. Probably never is a slight exaggeration, but I do not remember having a glass of water. I grew up on Kool-Aid and Pepsi. Once in a while, orange juice. But I don't ever remember going to the sink and getting a glass of water. The only time I would have water is if I did have a headache, and because you're not supposed to take aspirin with Pepsi. So, you know, you take a little Dixie cup, you know, kind of a thing. So, and you're not thirsty. I'm thirsty. And the thought of drinking water in the morning made me gag. I mean, just, ugh. I could not do it. And I remember when we first got married, and Damien, he got up and he'd drink like 2 glasses of water like that. Like, ugh. You know, and when he's thirsty, like after he's worked out or something, I mean, he will just guzzle the whole, I don't know, guys can do that. I don't know. So I didn't drink water. And so obviously I was very dehydrated. And, but you know, as you grow up and you learn, you know, okay, I'm supposed to drink water. It's good for me. I need to drink more water and blah, blah, blah. But I still didn't want to, and it's still hard. And I tried and that kind of a thing. And, but finally, I mean, this took years. Finally, I thought, okay, I have to do this. I'm not healthy. I don't feel well. I need to drink more water. And so I disciplined myself. You know, I got my glass and I got a pitcher so I would count, you know how much I'm drinking, because otherwise you can think you're drinking a lot of water and you're really not. If you just have a little sip all day long, you can only drink 1 cup. But if you line them up, then you know, you know. So I disciplined myself so I can monitor myself and know. And yes, you have to go to the bathroom more often, but that's good for you too. So, but guess what happened to me? All of a sudden, I became thirsty. If I do not have water now, I feel like I'm, you know, I've been out in the desert. What do I do the first thing when I get up in the morning? I take a big glass of water. I have to. It's created a healthy habit and a healthy thirst. And actually, when I was sitting at the computer and I was preparing for this, I drank so much water on that day. Oh, but I developed a habit. You know, you disciplined. It was a choice. Okay, I'm going to do this. And now I have to do this. I have to do this because my body's saying, you need more, you need more, you need more, kind of a thing. Now, yes, it's harder in the winter. I mean, it's hot, when it's sunny and warm, it's easier to drink a lot of water. And then when you're freezing at home, it's hard. And so I confess I haven't been drinking as much water as I should, but I did the other day. So, but as a new Christian, I didn't thirst after the word either. I read the word and I memorized scripture and I did Bible study and all of that, but there wasn't that real hunger and that real thirst for the word. And so my prayer, Lord, give me a hunger, give me a thirst for your word. And you know what he said to me one day? Very clearly, he said, stop waiting for the thirst and just do it. He probably didn't talk like that. That wasn't his tone. That's my tone. He probably spoke very nicely, gently to me. But Karen, quit waiting to get thirsty and just go ahead and do it anyway. So I did. And it's a choice. And so again, I disciplined myself. It wasn't that I didn't want to read the word. I was reading the word, but I wasn't reading enough. I wasn't reading enough for what he had for me. It wasn't enough. And so you discipline yourself and you start reading more and more. And guess what happened? You want more. The word becomes so alive. You truly are. It's just like that. I'm really, really thirsty physically and spiritually. I need more of the word. I need to read more. I need to read for longer periods of time. And the more that I read, the more I wanted to read. And now it really is. It's a lifeline. It's that connection with the Lord every single day in reading his word. Now, I will confess, when I am stupidly in my flesh, And there might be a day where whatever, I'm in my flesh, this is all there is to it, you know. You probably have days like that too. Yeah. Okay. And then I don't read as much as I should. I cut my time shorter or whatever. I probably very never skip unless it's a travel thing or whatever. But I don't give it the time that I should give it. And if I do that 2 days in a row or whatever, I can fall into that downward thing of you get used to it. It's like your body compensates. And I don't want to do that. I discipline myself to read more and more and more and more. The Word of God it's amazing. And the Word of God is just that. It is God's Word. That in itself makes your jaw drop. That is His Word. The Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's speaking. This is how we get to know Him. He reveals Himself in His Word. We see His heart, His character. And we learn how to live and all that. It's amazing. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That wonderful verse that we probably all know by heart. 2 Timothy 3:16. That says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible, every bit of it, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is breathed by God. It's God breathed. He breathed His breath of life. Man physically penned or those words all by the Holy Spirit speaking and directing and breathing life into this word. And because of that, we need to take heed to His Word. And, you know, that saying, it takes a whole Bible to make a whole Christian. And truly it does. All Scripture, even those areas in Scripture that are hard to read, that you want to skip over, that you don't get, you don't understand, kind of a thing. All Scripture is God-breathed, and we need it all. So I encourage you to read it all. And don't be choppy. Don't pick and choose. Read all. The entire word for yourself, and don't use the Sunday nights as, well, we just went through Leviticus, so I don't need to read that. Read it for yourself, because there's so much in there. You think, I don't understand, I don't get it. You know what? It doesn't matter. God says, and I didn't write the reference down, His word does not return void. Always accomplishes what He wants it to accomplish. So that is encouraging to me. I was not a big reader in school, and my reading comprehension was not good. So when I started reading the Bible, it's like, oh no, I don't. You read 14 pages in a book and not know what you read. You know, you sit at your quiet time, and sometimes your mind wanders over here or there. Keep reading. By faith, His word doesn't return void. It's not like reading a book. This is His word that's alive and it's powerful. And He's going to get into those deep places in our hearts and speak to us. And He may not at that moment, He may use it later on. But read the whole thing. You know, there are times, I think I've shared this before, you know, because of life that's hard or trials or whatever it might be, and you typically read through in chronological order. And, I skipped the book of Job a couple of years. I couldn't take it. I just thought, I can't. It's bad news. I'll read the first two chapters and I'll read the last one. I can't read all that stuff in the middle. These guys, they're bugging me. Their attitude is wrong. I just couldn't take it. I mean, that is a terrible confession, but I'm being very honest with you. So you know, after 2 years, I thought, you know what, this is nonsense. I really need to read this again. So I pulled out the New Living Translation. So those of you who have trouble with the book of Job, the New Living Translation, and read the book of Job, could not believe it. It reads like a conversation. It was so much easier. It was just so much easier. So if you have trouble in certain books of the Bible, Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy or, you know, Ezekiel or that, try a different translation. And that might help get you through, but at least you're reading through and you're being faithful and not just, you know, sticking to those favorite books. In Hebrews chapter 4, turn over there too, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Just a wonderful verse. For the word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And have you experienced that the word of God is alive and it is powerful in your life? When you read the word of God, isn't it alive and powerful? Even if you're just maybe passing by and you see a scripture or you overhear a scripture, something happens within us because it is alive and powerful. It is God's word and he speaks to our hearts and our hearts just leap and they jump. It's the spirit within us that's saying, yes, it's like that. It's that water for that thirsty soul. And you're being fed and strengthened by it. From the verse in Hebrews and then in Timothy, the word is living and it is powerful. It is active. It is energizing. There is power and life. Again, I know I'm repeating myself, but there is power and life in the word. So to be spiritually healthy and alive, we need that. Just like our body needs the water and our body needs food, spiritually we need the word of God. And we were sharing beforehand, before we prayed together and before we began tonight, and we were talking about how when we eat a meal, most of us just eat. You don't think about what's in it and that it's good for you. And this has this vitamin and has this and that. You don't think about that when you eat. And you want to think about that with the word of God. But there are spiritual nutrients in the word of God. And so when we read it, when we hear it, when we're studying it, it's finding its proper place in our lives and in our inner man and strengthening us spiritually, our spiritual man within us. And we need that. We need it. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It pierces. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both sides. When we read the word of God and it goes in there, it cuts. But very gently. It's not this ragged thing that just leaves you a mess. People do that. People's words do that, but not the word of God. It's smooth, but it cuts deep within our hearts. It is sharp. It pierces. It penetrates deep within like nothing else can penetrate into our hearts. It divides all those things that we get confused in there and we kind of smoosh together and we think it's fine. The word goes in there and divides and it reveals. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Don't you experience that when you read the word of God? You know, when you have, you have a bad attitude or something and you read a verse, it's just that sword that just goes in there and it it shows you the motive that you thought was, you had it all together, and it reveals that. But again, in a very gentle and a very healthy way for us. It's profitable for us. It does us good. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. It teaches us, again, about God, who He is, His character, His heart. Teaches us about God's ways. The whole Bible teaches us about God's way. That's why those books that are hard are very important. We're learning about God and His ways in them. It is profitable for reproof for us. It points out those things that are displeasing to the Lord. Those little attitudes or those little actions or words or whatever, it points that out. Or points out, reproves sin in our lives. And shows us, hey, that's wrong. Hey, and then it also reproves sin in other doctrines or anything that's contrary to the word. But it doesn't just reprove, it corrects. It doesn't just say, oh, that's wrong. It says, that's wrong. Now, this is what you're supposed to do. It corrects. It teaches us what is right and sets us on the right path. And it's good for instruction. It instructs us about how to live in the right way. It instructs us in righteousness. How do we live the right way? How do we do? Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. His word does that. And then it tells us that so we can be thoroughly equipped, complete for every good work, mature. The more we read the word and we apply it to our lives, we grow. We are healthy spiritually and we're maturing spiritually. And that's what the Lord wants for each one of us, is that we would continue to grow and to be more like Him. Now, somebody said, you show me a worn out Bible and I'll show you a Christian who isn't. And that is so true. Unless, of course, you've dropped your Bible and your binding's breaking because you haven't taken care of it. But you know what I mean. That worn out Bible, because you have turned those pages so many times. That worn out Bible because you've written so many notes in it. That worn out Bible because there's so many teardrops that fell on the pages. That worn out Bible will not be in the hands of a worn-out Christian. It'll be in the hands of a strong and mature Christian woman. And that's what we want. And that's why we need to discipline ourselves to not wait for the thirst, but to just dig in and read more and more and more. I mentioned that Psalm 119 is one of my favorite psalms, and I love it because it's all about the Word of God. And for whatever reason, I find myself reading that often when we travel, when we go away. I don't know why I always turn back to Psalm 119 and read through that. And I love those verses in there because they speak about the Word of God and they encourage me to dig deeper in the Word of God and to read more of it. So just a few things from Psalm 119. You can turn there. If you've never read through Psalm 119, oh, do it. Don't go to bed tonight until you've done it. It'll take you a little while because there's a lot of verses in it, but it'll be well worth it. And if you did your homework, you probably dug into 119 also. But it keeps us clean and protected from sin. Verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments or your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It keeps us clean. It keeps us pure. Again, it keeps us on the right track. Do you ever find your mind running in the wrong direction and your thoughts become, you know, they're not what the Lord wants, and we're being more conformed to the world and the world's thinkings. We're hanging around somebody and they're influencing us and all that. Well, the more we go back to the Word of God, that cleanses our ways. Now it is shaping our thinking and keeping us in that right place. Don't you find that when you read the Word of God, it is like taking a shower? I don't know what I would do without it. My mind is sick. It's too busy all the time. And so I need the Word to wash, wash, wash. It counsels us. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do in this job. I don't know what to do in this situation, this relationship, whatever it is. I go to His Word. He counsels me. He instructs me. He sets me on the right path again. Verse 98 makes us wise. You, through your commandments or your word, make me wiser than my enemies. And then it gives us light in 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 130, it gives us understanding. I love this verse. The entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. For those of us with very simple minds, those of us who don't have college degrees, those of us who can't be on some debate team or you know, have eloquent speech or be able to understand chemistry and algebra and all those things that I have no idea. But His Word gives us understanding that I can be wiser than other people because of His Word, because of what He's teaching and what He's teaching you. When you pick up that Bible, you can be wiser than the guy with the degree because of what the Lord puts into your life through His Word. 160, His Word is truth. It doesn't change. The entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Forever. God's Word tells us it's settled in heaven. Settled forever. Everybody else's Word changes. His Word is only truth, and it stays the same forever. And 162, it is a treasure chest of truth and promises. I rejoice at your Word as one who finds great treasure. And that is where the Lord brings us. The more we thirst after His Word, the more that we quench our thirst on His Word, we view this as a treasure chest. And what are you going to show me? What riches are you going to show me today, Lord? What are you going to do in my life today through your word? What gem can I take with me today as I walk out the door? Week after week, we've talked about how the Lord, different ways He shapes our lives and what He uses to shape our lives. And boy, does He use His Word. His Word through His Spirit, breathing life and working that into our lives. His Word and His Spirit keeps us directly in the center of that potter's wheel. Keeps us right there. It keeps us sane. It keeps us anchored in, sitting right where we're supposed to be so that He can shape our lives. Nobody can make us thirsty for more. We just have to do it. So the more you read, the more you will want to read. Read one verse more than you were going to. Read one more chapter. Read one more book. Choose a book book of the Bible you've never read before. And make that your goal for this week. I'm going to read that book of the Bible that I've never read before. I'm going to read more verses. I'm going to read more chapters this week and see what happens to you spiritually. One last verse in 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And Lord, your word is so sweet. It is so delightful. It is so nourishing. It is so powerful. It is so, it comforts, it strengthens. It is our food, our sustenance. Thank you for just the treasure. The blessings, the promises that are in your word. And I pray for myself and for each one of my sisters tonight, Lord, that we would just be sponges and soak up your word like never before. And it, because your word is alive and it's powerful and it's God breathed, that it would have a tremendous impact in our lives, and people would notice that, Lord. They would notice a change because we're in your word more. And I pray now, Lord, that you would bless my sisters as they go into their groups, and that you would use that time as they talk about your word and they look deeper into your word to strengthen them and to minister to them, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you abundantly.